Welcome to another episode of Pastor Aggressive, real life, real faith, real talk. It's where we talk about what's going on in our lives, what's going on in the world, what's going on in the cosmos, in the universe, with the almighty creator God.
In the multiverse.
We love to talk about just everything that's happening through the lens of the Bible or through the lens of our own faith. So, you were telling me a story, a wild story about how your day went today, and I think we both had exciting weeks this week, so let me hear it.
All right, man. So, today, supposed to be an easy day at work, man. I get up a little late, you know, I get up at 8:30. That's probably a little too late. Head out to the job, it's about 10 o'clock, and I'm sitting outside a job site, and I'm doom scrolling. And I gotta stop doom scrolling, man. And maybe this wouldn't have happened if I wasn't doom scrolling. But I'm parked in my truck, and this box truck, 16-foot box truck, just giant, just backs into me, bro. Rams my truck, destroys my baby. Oh my gosh, my sweet baby, she's done for. She drives, but she's done for. But
did you drive it here tonight?
No, I drove it home, which was about an hour. Yeah, so yeah. She drives. She just has a lot of body damage, a lot more body damage than she had before. But everything's good. God's good. I'm getting paid out for it, and I don't know. Hopefully, I can do something good with that money, pay off some of my debt or something. But you know, it wasn't the worst thing. I was still pretty joyful after that.
That's so great, man.
I don't really. Hey, man, new truck, new me, man. Yeah. Pretty soon.
Yeah, yeah. New truck, who dis? man, I had a wild week. So we had Jude's birthday party Saturday or, yeah, whatever. It was this weekend.
Saturday.
And that was the highlight of my day. It was a great time. You hung out. We played tons of euchre.
We lost in euchre. I got euchred four times in one game.
You were being a little crazy with calling it. Like, I understand we like to call it every time.
I was with Tiffany, dude.
But you were calling it on some wild. Well, on nothing. You were calling it on nothing. Like
on a nine and a jack.
Like you'd call it spades, but literally have no spades in your hand. So that's the way you were playing. But. And then, you know, Jude had a bunch of friends over, so him and his friends stayed up way too late playing video games. It's super fun to have just, like, his friends hanging out and just doing this kind of stuff I used to do when I was his age. Super fun. In the midst of that, and Tiffany doesn't listen to the podcast, so who cares? She's not going to get mad at me for this, but she wouldn't get mad at me if she knew I was talking about this on the podcast. In the midst of that, Iris goes over to one of our neighbors who she loves to play with their kid, and she just constantly playing with this kid.
Yeah.
She goes over there, and she doesn't have a jacket, and she doesn't have shoes on. And she comes back, my four-year-old, and she says, name redacted, said that I can't play over there, and if I come over there without a jacket or shoes again, he's going to call CPS. What's CPS? And I was like, well, I'm not going to tell my four-year-old what CPS is. Speaking of four-year-olds, here she comes. Anyway, as smart and obnoxious as that little goblin is, she does not know what CPS is, nor does she need to know at 4 years old.
Yeah.
That's bonkers, right? Yeah. So I'm fuming, naturally. You know me.
Yeah.
My blood pressure was 1,000 over 2. It was like... high stroke levels, and I was but because of that, God's working on me. I knew that I couldn't go talk to him about it, so I said, you know what, we're just gonna leave it alone. Tiffany went and talked to him about it, and he backtracked and all kinds of other stuff. And meanwhile, his dog gets out and finds one of my chickens and pins it to the ground and almost kills it. Chicken survived, that's fine. And so I'm fuming still. All of this is happening, and I'm just so frustrated. I'm like, man, you know, eye for an eye, which is what Jesus preaches against. I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to call CPS on my kid for not wearing a jacket when it's 80 degrees in October. Then I'll call animal control on your stupid dog who tried to kill my chickens that I'm not supposed to have. Anyway, all of that happens. And so I'm sitting outside because, contrary to popular belief, it is not jacket weather. It's nice. It was nice on Saturday.
It is nice right now.
And so I'm sitting out there. I'm just trying to take it all in, breathe, and then the craziest sounds start coming from the chicken coop. And I'm like, what now? What are these chickens up on? Because it's dark. and they don't need to be out. I don't know why I can hear the chickens. So I go back there to the chicken coop, and they're all against the fence side, not actually in the coop, freaking out. Like, what the heck? So I go in the chicken coop. I'm like, in the chicken coop, chickens. And I go in there, and there's a possum in the chicken coop. So Tiffany comes out. I have her put the flashlight on it to, like, keep it there so it won't move. And won't kill any of my chickens or steal any more of my eggs, which I think it's been getting in and stealing eggs because we haven't had a lot of eggs lately, and I thought that was weird. But she said it was like going for a chicken when she saw it first and it was like about to attack it. So anyway, we stopped it in its tracks, and I go get Jude's BB gun because I have a shotgun from my grandpa, but I never have ammo here for it.
Yeah.
So I was like, of course, I'm like...
And a shotgun would have obliterated.
Oh, it would have just destroyed. It would have killed the chickens, too. It would have been a disaster.
Yeah.
It would have been like Hamburger Hill in there. Or Chick-fil-A Hill at this point. But so I decide I'm not gonna do that. So I get the BB gun. Dude's BB gun. And I'm like, I can put a BB through this thing's eye pretty easy, I'm pretty sure.
Uh-huh.
Fairly confident. Close range, I can definitely do this. Click it. Go to shoot. No BBs. I'm like, where... This thing has always got BBs in it. What the heck? So I go inside. I'm like, Jude. Wait,
is this a pellet gun or a BB gun?
BB, like metal BBs.
Okay.
BB gun. So I'm like, Jude, where are your BBs? He's like, why? And I'm like, it doesn't matter why. Just tell me where your BBs are. He's like, I don't know. I don't think I have any more. I'm like, great. So I go behind me. You know my neighbor, Chester.
Uh-huh.
I go down there to his house. I'm like, because he's got guns and BB guns and hunting stuff, all kinds of hunting. I'm like, Chester, I need ammo. I need BBs. I need something. And he's like, what's going on? Turns out, and this is sad, my neighbor Chester is moving. Before you ask, I already asked if he was going to rent or sell his house. He's selling it because I was going to just tell you to rent it. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe you can buy it. You could be my neighbor. Anyway, I digress. he's got all of his stuff packed up because he's moving. I'm like, dude, I don't know what to do. He's like, I got my bow. And I was like, that's close range, but you think you can do it? And he's like, yeah, I could do it. And this episode's going to get pulled down by PETA, probably. Wait,
how old is Chester?
32, okay. 34, okay. Something like that. Yeah. So Chester gets his bow and shoots this arrow through the possum, through the back of the chicken coop, goes through to my other side of the barn, which is fine. It's fine. I don't care. There's nothing in there that I'm really worried about. But it was amazing. It was an amazing shot. Possum... No more. Done with. We clean up its carcass and come back inside. And I'm just like, man, what a day. And I realized, though, as all of this stuff is happening, well, at the end of the day, I'm getting up and getting ready for church. It's like this kind of stuff happens on Saturdays almost exclusively where I have like a rough day on a Saturday. And it just reminded me that like the enemy is always trying to find a way to distract us from whatever God's calling us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And this week was like a big Sunday. We had a bunch of people there Sunday morning. We got we started the recovery group Sunday night. It was a big day. A lot was going on.
Uh-huh.
So I feel like all of that stuff just like got thrown my way to distract me, man.
How'd the recovery group go?
It was really awesome.
I was supposed to be a part of that, man.
Yeah,
that
I
was
know.
My invite.
You never showed up, so
bro, I didn't know it was going down.
Without
Come
you.
On,
I've only been talking about it for 2 months,
Come
three
on,
months.
Man. So how'd it go?
Anytime, Sunday nights, 6 p.m.
Every Sunday night.
Every Sunday night,
man.
But it went great. We had like 5 people there that weren't on the team, so like 5 participants or 6, I can't remember. But it was really great. We had like so all told, it was like 10 or 11 people. Awesome. Mm-hmm. And really, everyone was really open to what we were saying. Everyone was sharing a lot and not like reserved at all. It was just like, talk about real talk. That's what was happening.
Praise the Lord.
And so, looking forward, like a couple of the people that were there were like, hey, we just kind of came to see what it was all about before we invite some of our friends who are, at different stages of recovery. So, so they said next week we'll have a lot more people here. So,
praise the Lord.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Really looking forward to it. And God did amazing things through that, amazing things through the service. I got to counsel with a couple who I'm going to do a wedding for in January. It was just a really... Sunday was an awesome day.
Yeah.
But Saturday leading up to it was such a distraction. And it kind of got me thinking about this this thing. Actually, one of the guys, my buddy Wade, who is one of the counselors on our team... was telling me about this thing he saw in 1 Samuel before David goes to fight Goliath. Mm-hmm. And he told me this thing, and it blew my mind. And so I started studying the passage this week. I didn't know what I was getting. Like, I just ended that series about, like, political unrest and how we handle that as a church. And I had no idea what, like, this coming Sunday, which by the time this comes out will have just passed. Mm-hmm. But I had no idea what I was going to preach. And then he gave me this idea for this message. And then it kind of led me into what I want to discuss tonight. But the first thing that it really reminded me of is, so before David goes to fight Goliath, the war is already going on between the Israelites and the Philistines. It's a mess. It's a bloodbath. And it's been a disaster. But then at some point, the Philistines bring in Goliath, and he's like, we're going to go for a 1v1. Mm-hmm. No more war. 1v1. You pick a champion, and I'll be the champion for the Philistines. And whoever wins gets the whole thing.
Okay.
The war is over. One of us is going to win, and then that person's whole team wins. The whole squad wins when the big dog comes out.
Okay.
And the Israelites are terrified. Nobody wants to go up against him.
Uh-huh.
In fact, they're on the verge of just being like, well, I guess we're just going to give up because nobody wants to get killed by this giant.
Yeah.
Which people get weirded out about the idea of giants, and we don't even have to get into all that.
We don't know how tall he was. Maybe he was like 7'3", or something like that.
Based on the other measurements of other things historically, the cubits and all that stuff, he's probably like 8 foot, between 8 foot and 9 foot. So, yes, very big, but also, I mean, there's, in the Guinness Book of World Records, there's some 8 footers in the last 100 years. So, it's like whatever.
Normally, those guys can't like stand up straight. And
right,
stuff,
right.
So, I don't know.
But this dude was beefy, is what we understand. Yeah.
He's like the modern,
genetic freak.
He's like the modern day Thanos. So I guess not the modern day.
Yeah. The
wait, do you think he had a gauntlet?
I don't think he had a gauntlet.
Okay.
It does describe a lot of armor as I'm reading back through this passage, but I don't remember anything about a gauntlet. But so David is not even involved in this war at all. He's a kid. And what that means, we don't know. Is he 10? Is he 16? Who knows?
Yeah.
But all we know is he's a kid and he watches over the flocks for his dad.
Mm-hmm.
And his brothers are fighting the war. So his dad says, go take them some lunch because I know it's not, they don't have enough resources there. So just go run and take them some lunch. And so he's just obedient to what his dad tells him to do. He shows up and he hears this guy talking hella trash about mm-hmm. his God. And he's not going to stand for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, are you guys hearing what I'm hearing? but his brother... This is the craziest part. This is where I was like, whoa, this blows my mind to even think about this. His older brother, and I can't remember how many brothers he has, but he has this specific one who is mentioned in this instance. Eliab is his older brother.
Mm-hmm.
And Eliab, in the midst of this, David's like, what's going on? Who is this guy? Why is he trash-talking our God? And what are we going to do about it?
Yeah.
And everybody's like, we're terrified. We're not going to do anything about it. And Eliab decides he wants to start talking smack now. And he says to David, why are you even here? You're just here to show off and be a show-off and try to be a hero or something.
Yeah.
And he wasn't. He was just there being obedient to what his dad told him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, whoa, that's really wild, man. Like, Eliab is not... But David's response is David ignores him. Mm-hmm. David just is like, don't listen to this guy. Goes back to talking to the army, and he's like, what are we going to do about this?
Uh-huh.
And I was like, that blew my mind, man. Because Eliab was like my neighbor or that possum on Saturday. And that these distractions come in our place that aren't necessarily... They're not our enemy. It's just a distraction to keep us from the real enemy, to keep us from doing what God's called us to do. And it was like, my mind was just blown, man. And then I was like, I went down this whole rabbit hole of looking at everything. And Eliab is the one who, when Samuel is told to go to the house of Jesse to find a king for Israel, he sees Eliab and Eliab's all jacked and buff. And he's like, oh, buddy. This is the guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And God's like, no, no, no. The little guy.
Yeah.
And so, like, Eliab's probably a little bit ticked off about that whole thing too, right? Like, he's just, in general, he's jealous about David.
Yeah.
And so so he's got a bad attitude, but he's not the enemy. He's just David's brother, who's probably talked like this before. He's probably bullied him for a long time. It's not a huge deal, but David could have made it a huge deal and got distracted by it and made a whole thing about fighting him instead of going after the real enemy.
This is so crazy because I just experienced this the other day. I was, after Jude's party on Saturday, I went up to Indy to go hang out with my friend. I was supposed to hang out with him Friday, and he canceled on me, and I've just been trying to minister to him, you know. So I'm hanging out with him, and he's at his mom's house, and his sister's there, his young sister. We'll keep names out of it, but she's been a Christian for 9 months. And she's hitting me with, debate terms and stuff. Like, she knows so much scripture. She's like quoting scripture from the Old Testament, from Psalms and Proverbs and this and that. And I'm like, what is going on? And we're just in the back seat, me and her, just talking about Jesus. And she told me that when she was 14, she lost her virginity, and then again she had sex and got pregnant. The guy left her and she had an abortion, and this was all before she was saved. She was cutting herself and drinking and doing
that's
pills
heavy
and stuff,
man.
And we're talking. She's opening up to me, and I'm opening up to her. I feel like that's one of the best ways to minister, man, is just to not, give advice from the Bible, give advice from what you've experienced as to what they're experiencing and how God helps you through it.
Yeah.
So I'm talking to her. I'm like, she was talking about, she's in high school. She's, 17. And she's like, you know, God made Eve for Adam. And she's like, where's my Adam? And she's like, she feels so alone and this and that. And I'm like, you know,
I know what you're like, never, you know, Paul says you don't need to be married.
I said, you know, I'm a virgin. And Jordan, my friend, and his girlfriend were in the front seat. They start laughing, dying laughing. Jordan knows I'm a virgin, but his girlfriend is just like, I have a bonnet. You know what a bonnet is?
No.
You don't know what a bonnet is?
No.
Black ladies wear it on their head. It's like the...
Oh, like a... Okay, yeah.
Yeah, a bonnet. So I had a bonnet on my head. With
like,
my,
it used to be like Mennonite ladies, too. They wear the bonnets on the back of their head.
It's not like that. It like covers the head. It's like a something you sleep in. It's like,
a
shower cap.
Oh, okay, okay, okay.
So I have it. I'm just like goofing around. I got my sunglasses on, but I'm talking Jesus. I'm talking real. I just look goofy. And she's like making fun of me. And... like, in that moment, I got prideful, I got angry, and I'm like, I just thought to myself, I'm like, what am I doing? Kick the dust off my feet and continue this conversation.
Yeah.
It's like, because I was having this powerful conversation,
yeah,
and the mockers are sitting in the corner laughing and joking. And I'm just like, that's unimportant. You know, if I get the chance to minister to her, I'll get the chance to minister to her. And get this, Monday, I got the chance to minister to the same girl that was just laughing at me.
That's awesome.
We're opening up, and it's like, because I didn't make a big deal out of that and bite back,
yeah,
I had an opportunity in the future to then go back and have a healthy standing.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Crazy.
And this whole thing, all of it, made me think, because then I was like, but, you know, I've always been a big advocate of, like, exegesis, not eisegesis. Don't read yourself into the scriptures. You know, pull Jesus out of it. And like, I'm off. You could quote me of saying that I've said it many times in different scenarios, Bible studies, sermons. It's probably on the internet somewhere. Mm-hmm. I've said, you know, when we take the story of David and Goliath, we want it to be this like, oh, God's going to give me strength to defeat my giants or whatever.
Yeah.
And then I always say, but we're missing the point of this story. You're not David. You're the Israelites cowering in the corner.
Yeah.
David is a type of Jesus. He's the one who fights in our place.
Yeah.
And that is true. But I had this revelation that I feel like was from the Lord, definitely like Holy Spirit led, to like let go of that. And some of that, I think, is pride, me saying that. Like, oh, I know the Bible so well, and this is how you study it.
You
and all this
go
stuff.
All Mormon on me?
No, but listen. If David in that instance is a type of Christ, right? He's the example of Christ in that instance.
Mm-hmm.
And we as believers are to be Christ-like,
mm-hmm,
then shouldn't the characters who represent Christ be an example to us of how we should act?
Yes and no. And I say this because I think about, like, in my early faith, the way I would give advice is I would say, what would Jesus do?
Yeah.
And that's so unfair, man. It's unfair to an extent. Like, Jesus isn't, I need to, just try to understand me here. Jesus isn't calling us to be exactly who he was. In his personality, in his...
Right, I'm tracking with you.
But he's not calling us to go be a mason and to go out and preach the gospel to all the nations, like, on foot. You're like a missionary.
The exact same way he did, right.
But we do follow in preaching the gospel to all the nations by many different ways. So, I don't know, continue maybe.
I think that further kind of reiterates my point of, like, David was just an ordinary guy who lived an example like what Christ would then in his future be an example of, right? Because of the Christ that already lived into him, pre-incarnate Christ.
Yeah, no future dwelling, body. He's right, always been around.
Dwelling in him. Yeah, Christ is from the beginning. He is the beginning, all that, right? But he is just, David's just a normal guy living like Christ in that moment, right?
Right.
So then we're called to that too, and whatever our normal life is to live as an example of Christ, right?
Sure.
So it is not unbiblical for me to say you can be like David in this moment and ignore the chatter and the trash talk and not focus on the distraction from the enemy and focus on the enemy that's in front of you.
Right.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's not unbiblical or eisegesis or whatever. I'm not saying, oh, you're David, ignoring the haters or whatever, because that's real.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Christ would call us to do. And so, man, when I had that epiphany, that kind of, I don't know, revelation is kind of a bold statement to say, but when I had that happen, it opened the whole thing up for me. I had no idea what I was going to preach this week.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was open, like, when God opened my heart to that, it was like the message just came together, like boom, 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 whole thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, before I know it, I'm working on the sermon slides and I'm putting all this stuff together. And and it's just, it's crazy because I had no idea going in this morning what I was going to preach.
Well, I'm tracking with what you're saying because Jesus literally commands us to that, and it should almost be it's weirdly almost a blessing when somebody's mocking you. And Jesus says it. He said, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's like, in a weird way, not even in a weird way, in a truth way, it's a blessing to be ridiculed for your faith, which sounds crazy, but it's even cooler if you don't let it knock you down, man. If you keep persevering, I think you could totally take that passage and turn that into a message about perseverance.
Yeah, yeah. And I that's basically what I did. I wrote this whole thing this morning, and I'm really feeling confident about it, and I think it's going to be a good message. I think it's going to resonate with a lot of people. Are you and your friend going to be there this Sunday?
We are.
Sweet. My sister is going to be in town from Florida, and my niece, and I think my niece is playing worship with me, which is not something that ever gets to happen because she, you know, she lives in Florida. So it's going to be...
Is she the one that plays guitar?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, he's not going to be able to play this weekend.
So, yeah.
I asked him, I was like, you know, do you want to... Because, like, when you invite somebody into a church, you know, I asked him, I was like, do you want to come as a visitor?
Right.
Or do you want to come as... I want to say worker, but that's not the right word. But as a, I don't know. It's like, you come with an obligation, or do you want to come with an obligation just to serve Christ? So, I don't know. Yeah.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm glad you guys are going to be there, and I think it's going to be super special for me to get to play worship with my niece.
That will be awesome.
Like, I get so stressed. I played drums this last Sunday too, and I was telling people, because people were like, "Oh, it's so fun to see you play drums," which I'm always really concerned, and this will come back to the topic too. But I'm always really concerned about that. I'm always like, man, I don't want to play drums and also preach, and then people be like, oh, he just thinks it's all about him. He's running the show up here. But that's never the case. Yeah. It's always like when I play drums, people are always like, oh, that was super fun to see you like up there with the worship team and playing. And it's just like my own image of me is like, I don't want people to think it's an ego thing. But I was telling a lot of people, like, dude, it makes me so nervous. And it's weird because I'm in a band and I've toured for years, like almost a decade now. And been all over the country, played for five people and played for 5,000 people.
Yeah.
And never get nervous playing drums. Yeah. And I never get nervous preaching every Sunday.
Yeah.
But for some reason, playing drums for the worship set on Sunday morning always makes me nervous.
Yeah.
I'm like, what gives, man? This is so ridiculous. But anyway, so I played last week and I'm playing this week, but I'm really looking forward to this week. And it was fun last week, but I'm really looking forward to this week because I get to play with my niece and we never, ever get to do this. So.
Is your niece the one that played at Ben's funeral, your dad's funeral?
Yeah, yep.
Okay.
She
did.
Yeah,
she's awesome.
I think she's playing his guitar at the service.
Really?
Probably, yeah.
That's sick, man.
Yeah. So it's really cool. The whole thing's going to be great. But all that is to say, like, I worry so much about what people think and what people say and or what they don't say, but I assume they are saying in their head, you know? And it's so crazy to me. Like, why do we care so much what somebody else says about us?
Well, and the question we have to ask ourselves, I think, this is the question. When I got baptized, that's all I was worried about. I'm like, bro, I got to get up on stage in front of all these people in this goofy white robe with my shoes off and get dunked in this water. And the more I thought about it, the more I had to ask myself, am I trying to glorify God or am I trying to glorify man?
Yeah.
And that's the like crux of the conversation is like, why are we so worried about what men think? And oftentimes not enough worried about what Christ thinks of us. And we know he loves us and we know he obviously wants good for us, but there are times in our lives where we're dull. And we're apathetic to the Holy Spirit, and we're not listening. But in those times, I'm more worried about what men think of me until I come to my senses and I'm shook into my core of, why have I not been worried
about
Jesus?
Dude, and where does it come from? Where does it come from?
Because, Satan.
Oh, well, yeah, Satan, yeah. Well, thanks for just killing the conversation with the truest answer. Yeah, that's absolutely where it comes from. But I was thinking even like, so like my kids, they care about what people say. And what people think, which is crazy. Like, that shouldn't be something that just naturally pops up in your life.
We all do as kids, I think.
Yeah, so. But it's crazy. Like I had a wild conversation with Jude the other day. Like, he's 12, and so we're having more serious, more grown-up conversations. But, like, he threw this crazy one at me. Like, he was like, hey, Dad, would you be mad if I ever came to you and I said I was non-binary? And I'm like... I was like, what does that mean, buddy? Would you know what that even means? And he's like, well, I don't know really what it means, but I think it means like, you don't know if you're a boy or a girl. And I was like, and what do you think about that? He's like, I don't know why people think that, but he's like, but like, obviously I'm a boy, but some people, he's like, some of my friends say I scream like a girl and they call me a girl.
Gosh.
And he's like, they call me a girl. So what does that mean? And I was like, and this is, it's probably going to get me canceled. This is way too straightforward and just like, but he's 12. I'm not trying to get into the complicated conversations with him. I'm like, buddy, you have a pee-pee, right? And he's like, yeah. And he starts laughing because, you know, that's funny to him.
Yeah.
And I was like, mystery solved.
Yeah.
And then he started laughing. He's like, I like that. That's a good.
Yeah.
And I was like, but I mean, that's the simplest way to, you know, simplest answer. And there's going to be people disagree with that.
Gender is not the same thing as sex, right. Bro. Gender is a social norm, misconstruction of the white supremacist hierarchy.
There's going to be a whole lot. I'm sure there's going to be someone coming after us about that. But I'm trying to keep these things. I'm like, the thing with me is I never want to talk to my kids. I never want to give myself, my kids, something that's heavier than what they can carry.
Right.
Conversationally. And that's just too much for him. So I just kept it simple, kept it stupid, and kept it, like, lighthearted. And we had a good conversation. And, like, he knows that, you know, I'm never going to not love him. But he also knows that, like, there's just some stuff out there that you don't need to worry about what other people think and not be ridiculous and think about, like...
And in today's crazy world, bro, where, like, people would say, I'm acting like a girl. Or they'd use the worst word, the B word.
Yeah.
But now... Like, I didn't think when I was a kid, if somebody said that, and I'm only 21, so that means nothing, but when I was a kid and somebody would say, you're acting like a girl, I'd be like, well, maybe I'm non-binary. It's like, kids are literally being indoctrinated. It's, bro, it's social media. It's your friends who are on social media.
And that's what I asked him. I said, where did you get that from, buddy? Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, I just hear it sometimes. I'm like, All right. Well, don't just spout off everything you hear. but I did say, I'm like, man, I'm glad you came to me about this and talked to me about this.
Praise the Lord.
And anytime you have something confusing like this that you don't understand, come talk to me and we'll clear it up. But yeah. So,
something I saw that was cool on this topic was this guy named Nicholas Bowling. I mentioned him before. He's a street preacher and he was at an LGBTQ Pride Fest. And he was talking to this girl who was a Christian, but she wasn't a Christian, but she was gay. And she comes up to this guy, Nicholas Bowling, and she's like, can I be gay and be a Christian? And he says, I don't know, ask Jesus. And I'm like,
that's good.
I'm like, that's a great answer, dude.
Yeah.
Because they're already expecting you to say no. So yeah. It's like, if you think you're non-binary, okay, nothing else matters. It doesn't matter if you're a man, if you're a woman, if you're transgender, you're gay, whatever, whatever, whatever. Have a relationship with Jesus. Jesus will answer your questions. Ask Jesus if you're non-binary. And he will make it clear to you whatever he wants to make clear to you. You know, I'm not going to say there's no such thing as non-binary. But it doesn't make sense to me.
Dude, I always say to everyone, when people are like, well, would this person be welcome at your church? I always say,
everybody,
come as you are and let Jesus change you however he wants you to be.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. Now, yeah. Dude, this is such a flip side thing because some people would be like mad that I said what I said to my son and like, how dare you oversimplify it like that and, you know, make it about genitalia or whatever. And then there's other people who would be like, how dare you be so flippant about like, I'm not going to tell anybody what they are or whatever.
Yeah.
Both sides would be, funny day to have be talking about both sides being that. You know, by the time this posts, it won't be. But today's election day, and it's a whole thing. But yeah, people are going to be mad at me. They're going to be mad at me. And this, here we go, rolls all the way back around to the topic. I don't care.
Yeah. And you're like, never going to please everybody, bro.
And I'm not saying that to be contrarian. I'm not saying that to be a jerk. I'm not saying that to upset people. I'm just saying that I'm worried about kingdom business.
Yeah.
I don't care. Be whoever you want to be, but if you want to be in a relationship with Jesus, which I would highly recommend,
yeah,
then let Jesus tell you who you are.
Yeah.
And that's it. I mean, that's really as simple as it can possibly be. I'm not going to make anybody be anything. Like, that's not...
Yeah.
It's not my job to make anybody anything.
Well, to do a late game preface, it's not like we're adverse to correction either. So it's like...
No, if you listen to last week's episode,
yeah,
like... I felt like Tanner corrected me in like such a gentle way, and I like, even if he would have not been gentle with me, I can take correction. I don't like it, but I'll take it. But he did it in such a way that I genuinely wanted to know what he thought.
Yeah,
like it really made me want to know what he thinks. Now, does that mean I'm going to change the way I think? I don't know. Maybe not. We'll see. Yeah. But let's have that conversation. Let's do it with respect.
It's about intent, man. We don't give people enough credit, bro. If you're out there preaching the gospel to people and you're like a phony Christian, people see right through that, whether they're saved or whether they're not. So I think most people can tell when you're getting phony criticism or hateful criticism. So I think that's mostly what we're talking about is just like nonsense babblings that don't mean anything. They're not actually trying to correct you. And most of the time... I mean, all the time, nobody has authority over you like Christ does.
So yeah.
If somebody calls you out for something, I have a friend that he says all the time that, you know, man, we talk about things and I really don't like what you're saying, but then I go home and I read the scriptures and I talk to God about it and he changes my mind. And I do the same thing.
Yeah.
So, like, God is our authority. So let people correct you, sure, but don't let people destroy you.
It just like this whole thought process on like, can you see yourself in David when you're reading the scriptures?
Yeah.
Like my mind changed about that today.
Yeah.
And that's like a huge thing. Like that should be, we should be open to letting the living scriptures, the scriptures don't change, but letting the living scriptures change us.
Yeah.
In the way that we see them and we way we listen and, yeah, man, that was such a prideful thing for me to just be like, well, you can't ever see yourself in David. It's like, well, that's stupid, man. Why was I getting on like that?
Pride is a killer, bro.
It is. It's crazy, man. And not only was it probably turning people away from having conversations with me about it, But also, it was limiting my ability to preach the word.
Yeah.
That's wild, dude.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, because we become worried about what our congregation thinks or our friends think or our family thinks instead of what is Christ calling you to do.
That's just crazy, man.
It is crazy, but it's real. And especially, like, for anyone who's listening who is like me, who is didn't have a relationship with Jesus for so long in their life, the most influential. I won't say I didn't have a relationship with Jesus, but I feel like, I don't know. I'm not getting into all that spiritual mumbo jumbo, but I was so lost from it for so long that all I cared about was what people thought of me. I noticed in myself lately, since I've been hanging out with my old friend, that the way I talk when I come back is different, because I used to talk different when I lived in the hood. And it's just like, you like conform to what's around you, but you also can't be isolated from the world. So it's like, it's so hard to find a balance of being living Jesus, in the truth of Christ. Yeah,
Jesus prays for the disciples that they will be in the world, but not of the world.
Yeah.
And like Jesus prayed that over his disciples. That's crazy, dude.
That's enough said.
Yeah. That's a bar. To quote your hood talk or whatever. this really rattled me just to like let go of that prideful shackle of feeling like I'm
anti-eisegesis, bro.
And I don't, but now listen, I'm also, you can't just every single text try to make it about yourself. I'm not defending that in any way. I'm still very anti that, which I think is really the crux of eisegesis. But
define eisegesis for us.
Eisegesis is when you put yourself, when you read your own opinions or your own agenda or your own kind of worldview into the text rather than taking your worldview out of the text and letting scripture define your worldview. You're letting your worldview define scripture. That's the simplest way to put it.
Tanner talked about this on our last podcast. You remember he was like, the scriptures are like people look at the Bible like it's a truth book or not a truth book.
Well, he was just saying that everything is like, you can't look at it like you have to look at it in the context and in the culture and in the genre. That's the other thing is like the genre thing people miss completely. And 1st and 2nd Samuel is historical text.
Right.
So if we look at a history book and we look at like, well, what did our forefathers do in America for this thing? I want to be like that. Then how is it any different to say like, okay, David, forefather of the faith.
Right.
How do I act like that? And how do I like...
Forefather of the faith.
Yeah. What part of his character can I glean off of that?
Yeah.
And that will make me inherently more like Christ.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's... Dude, it changed my mind. And... I guess on the, we could probably make the talk a little lighter because this has been heavy conversation and good stuff. But that's all I really had to say on that specific topic. I don't know.
Let's make it lighter. Who'd you vote for?
I've said this many times. You probably, I don't know if you could ever figure out just by how I talk. Probably, but maybe not. I don't know. But the reality is I don't try to make that a public thing only because I have a platform where that people, for whatever reason, pastors, people just respect your platform sometimes and will just do whatever you say you did or whatever you suggest they do.
Right.
Even if it's not biblical. And I don't, so I don't ever, what do you call that when you, I don't ever endorse a candidate.
Yeah,
from a public standpoint, because I feel like with my platform, that's irresponsible.
Well, and so who are we to endorse? That's almost like a prideful position of like,
for sure.
Because I have authority in the church, then I should endorse this person. And I'll tell you what: if you endorse Kamala, nobody in your church would change their mind. I'm just saying.
Well, anyway, that being said. I do want to know how you become an official polling place. I've got 4 years now to figure it out.
You want to become an official polling place?
Bro, I got 3 calls today, people asking me while I was at the church, what the lines were like at our church for voting. What? I don't know. Yeah, I guess there's a Google search that there's a lot. There's about a billion Zion's Hills that are unrelated to each other all over the country. I guess a Zion's Hill somewhere in Indiana was a voting place. And so people
is this a church? Another church?
Yeah. Okay. So people were getting... Yeah, churches a lot of times are voting places, which
is
I don't
really...
Is that
right?
Yeah, dude, it makes me... I don't know. This is why I got to pray
about
it.
That's like having trunk or treat at a church.
Shut up, dude. See? Again, I don't care what you say. So, but I don't know. That's why I got to pray about it. I got to figure it out.
Yeah, that's a little dicey, man.
But, dude, it made me think, like... Again, it goes back to intent. What's my intentions? My intentions are not certainly not to implore people to vote a certain way.
Yeah.
But I do like the idea because I know how busy it gets to vote, and it can be a real time suck. It can be a real bummer for some people. How cool would it be to offer a place for people that's peaceful? My church is way out of the way, man, so may not get a ton of traffic, but... For people who know where it's at, it might be easy. I don't know. The phone calls just made me think about it today. I don't know if I would want to do that or not. I'll have to pray about it. I'll have to figure out what the stipulations are. I'll have to figure out what the perks are, too. Maybe there's like a tax write-off or something. I don't know.
Look, but, man, if you want my unsolicited opinion right here without thinking about it.
I do. I
want
to hear it.
I don't think so, bro. I think the church is a place for worship and gathering. I don't think
that's
it's
my
place.
Initial leanings too. Okay, so like I would say that too. Like my initial thoughts. If you just like if you said in this moment I had to make a decision right now and it was my permanent decision, I would say no.
Well, I'll also say the church isn't like a holy sanctuary. It's not like
right. That's
it's not like that, God lives.
That's the thing.
What am I trying to say?
Well, like you we talked about yesterday. Say. It's or last week. It's not about a building. It's about a people.
Right.
And so if people are using my building, and my building is a building that could easily facilitate that. Like, if you think about the fellowship hall, no one would ever even have to go in the front part of the church. You literally have them come in through the back, and all of the stuff could be set up in the fellowship hall.
Yeah.
Super easy. So, I don't know. I don't know that I'll ever do it. And if I did, I would have to put it up to a vote to the church because I'm not going to make that kind of decision on my own ever.
I'm sure the
anyway.
Church would love it. They'd be right
they
in their
just
backyard.
Love being... Dude, the church people love being in the community however we can.
I love your church,
so,
bro.
So probably yes. Probably everyone would be all for it. I don't know. I'm not real interested in it. But I did think it was funny that I got 3 phone calls today. I'm like... Wait. Eventually, I started just answering the phone. Zion's Hope Baptist Church, this is Warner. We are not a polling place. Because I'm like, well, I don't know what to tell people.
So, oh my goodness, what was I about to say?
About the church being a polling place?
It was something like that. I can't remember, bro.
I lost it. I don't know. I don't know if I think it's a good idea or a bad idea. I just want to know more information. Because clearly people would come out there if it was because I got phone calls today. So, I don't know.
Well, this might be cheesy, but it might be a chance to evangelize, but... I don't know. Like, my pastor would say, and Tanner said this on the last episode, that the church is not a place to evangelize. The church is a place to worship. So it's like...
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that.
That's... I don't know. That's dicey, bro.
There's a part of it, though, where, like, I've had so many people come to our church, walk in, and just the very presence in the church... not that there's anything special about the building, but the way the building looks, like how welcoming everything is, I've had people be like, instantly when I came here, I felt like I was at home. And so,
praise the Lord.
If that's something that could be a result of opening it up for the polling place, then I'm like, I don't know, that might be worth it.
Yeah, if you did it in the fellowship hall and not like people were coming up to the altar to cast their vote,
right? Just right where the podium is, just a big yeah, no,
a big
that,
cross
be...
with Donald Trump's face on it.
That's blasphemy, dude. but yeah, I don't know what I'm gonna do with that. Listen, man, this episode we've talked about politics, we've talked about gender, we've talked about abortion. This is real
talk.
We need to
talk about race.
We're gonna get blasted or not. I don't know.
Hey,
and
man, we don't care what you think.
I don't care what people say.
No, we care about what you guys think, man.
I care what people think because I don't want to hurt people, and I never want to be an oppressor. But at the same time, I know that in Christ's name, all oppression will cease. So yeah. I'm not. I don't. I don't. I don't claim to be someone who knows all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I'm writing this book and I'm going back through like when I felt called and about like my high school years and stuff. And I was a jerk in high school about this stuff. And again, it goes back to pride. And I think it's so interesting that God is like over 2 decades now has been working on the pride and chiseling more and more away.
Yeah. Pride is a lifetime battle.
It is. It is. But because of pride, sometimes you can be blinded to that. Like a couple of years ago, I would have been like, oh, see, I don't even have any pride anymore. This is great.
Yeah.
But then today I realize there's something that needs to get chipped off, you know, and.
Bro, even in telling you the story earlier about this girl I was just evangelizing to, after telling the story, I'm like, man, should I have even have just said that on the podcast? Because, like, I got her to start watching the podcast because she's against church, you know. She's probably been hurt by the church. She's been hurt in life, man, and she's really an awesome person. And she professes to be a Christian, but she's listening to the podcast now. And, like, even me sharing that she got upset with me, and I conquered that her being upset with me, it's like, man, is that even prideful? It's like, man, just to touch back on that story, man, I love this girl. I really do. And I see great things in her life.
Yeah.
So a point to add, just to go full circle before we hop off here, is even though these people chastise you, we shouldn't hate them. Like, even if we conquered in that moment, don't hold a grudge, man.
Yeah, here's the thing. Do you think David no longer cared for Eliab after that?
No. Absolutely not.
He ignored his snide remarks, but he probably still went and hugged him after Goliath was dead.
Yeah.
So, yeah, man, I just don't think... I think sometimes we take too seriously what people say and think about us.
Absolutely.
And that's the message that I took away from 1 Samuel 17. And, like, man, it's just heavy stuff. But I think it's so cool to see a story that I've heard since I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most famous Bible story. Even if people have never stepped foot in a church, they've heard this story.
Mm-hmm.
And it still has, like, a freshness. There's still something we can learn from that story.
That's the scriptures, yeah, bro.
It just never stops teaching, and it's so incredible.
Praise the Lord, man.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know what else to say. I don't feel like there's much more to say.
Wait, before we hop off.
Yeah.
I remember what I wanted to ask you.
Have you
ever been polled?
Like where someone asked me,
Like on the phone.
On the phone?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, dude. I thought we've talked about this before.
Mm-mm.
I get those phone calls all the time, although I don't anymore. And I think I'm probably on some kind of FBI watch list because every time I get pulled on the phone and they say,
I'm voting for Michael Jackson.
They're like, do you identify as Republican or Democrat? I always say, I believe that all geopolitical systems are ultimately the enemy of Almighty God. And so that always, you know, that probably put me on a list, but I'm not really worried. Again, I don't care. So anyway, I don't know, man. I hope that anyone listening doesn't feel like we've attacked them today. I hope they don't feel like we've been disingenuous or that we've just skirted off their opinions or thoughts. We love you and we do care about you. We don't necessarily care about what people think or say about us because ultimately it's about who Christ has made me to be and who Christ calls me to be and who Christ sees me to be.
Absolutely.
And that's really
amen.
It. So,
amen, amen.
Yeah. I think that's it, man. I think that's all she wrote. So with that, I'll just remind you that God's truth won't back down and neither should you. Stay relentless, stay focused, and above all, stay aggressive for God's glory.
Amen.